The hymn we just sang, All the Way the Savior Leads Me, was written by Fanny Crosby in 1875. She wrote this song after a direct answer to prayer. She was in need of a modestly substantial sum, in her words. It was $5, to be exact. Now, that doesn't sound like much money to us, but in her time, that's equivalent to about $150 nowadays. And here's what happened after she was led to pray to ask for that amount of money. She said, not long after I prayed for the money, a gentleman came into the house. He passed the time of day, shook hands with me, and went out immediately. And when I closed my hand after the friendly salutation, I found in it a bill which he left there. Now, Fanny was blind, and so she couldn't see what was there, so she asked a visitor what was in her hand, and sure enough, it was the $5 bill, the exact amount that she needed. She said, I have no way to account for this, except to believe that God, in answer to my prayer, put it in the heart of this good man to bring me the money. My first thought was, in what a wonderful way the Lord helps me. And all the way my Savior leads me. I immediately wrote the hymn, and Dr. Robert Lowry, the famous preacher and hymn writer, set it to music. So I wonder, have you ever been prompted by the Spirit to pray for something specific, or to do something that seemed random, like calling or visiting someone, or giving a sum of money? Have you ever been the good person upon whose heart the Spirit prompted an action of some kind? Well, in today's passage, we meet another good man on whose heart the Spirit put the task. In Acts 8, God put in Philip's heart to go and meet an Ethiopian eunuch on a deserted road outside of Jerusalem. To clarify, this is not Philip the disciple. One of the original 12 disciples, that is. Rather, this is Philip, who was chosen by the church in Jerusalem to help with the care of widows. He was one of the seven chosen as a man of good standing, full of the Spirit and wisdom. And sometimes he's referred to as Philip the Evangelist. In Acts 7 and 8, we hear that Saul is severely persecuting the church, and followers of Jesus had to leave Jerusalem to save their lives. They spread throughout Judea and Samaria. Philip went to Samaria and was preaching about the Messiah there. The Spirit gave him the ability to perform many miraculous signs in Samaria. And he baptized many new believers there. Peter and John joined Philip there and helped him proclaim the gospel, and then they all returned to Jerusalem together. Philip, however, was not to remain long in Jerusalem. In Acts 8:26, we read that the Spirit of the Lord told him to get up and go towards the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip obeyed and went. On the road, he saw a chariot with a visiting dignitary from Ethiopia. This man was a eunuch who was the treasurer for the queen of the Ethiopians. And in case you've not heard the term eunuch before, a eunuch is a castrated man. And in this time, men who served the queen were often castrated, as they were then considered safe to be around these important women. It also seems that he was a Jewish convert, as he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And while he was in Jerusalem, he bought a scroll of the book of Isaiah to read on his long journey home. Now the Spirit once again tells Philip to go run alongside the chariot. And Philip once again obeys. As he reaches the chariot, he hears the eunuch reading out loud from Isaiah. And Philip asks him if he understands what he is reading. And the eunuch wisely states, "How can I if no one explains it to me?" And so Philip, filled with the Spirit and excited to share what he knows of Jesus, begins to explain the gospel using the prophecy he was reading from Isaiah 53. This is what he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, And like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Now, although Philip isn't one of the original 12 disciples who traveled with Jesus, he was part of the group that heard the story directly from the disciples. He had heard that Jesus was the Messiah that was long waited for, and that although Jesus was crucified and died, that was not the end. Jesus had come back to life and had appeared to the disciples, and now he had returned to his Father. Philip was so excited to share this story. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was asking the children in the service if they knew what a lame man was. And most of us know that in the Bible, if someone is referred to as lame, it means they can't walk. However, one of our children, you may remember, gave a more modern definition of lame, which means uncool. And this is a very different meaning than what was meant in Acts 3. Now, I meet monthly with a group of women who also lead children's ministries in the churches in Regina. And knowing that they would understand, I told them about this little boy's answer, and they all laughed. And then one said, okay, that could be a really funny scene on the playground when the child goes up and says, in the name of Jesus, be lame no longer. Okay, so you guys get it. Thank you for laughing. My point is I told this story to the right audience. I thought this was hilarious and a really good joke, but I told this story to my son, and he stared at me and was like, you're not very funny, Mom, and that kid would be dead if he said that. So it's important that we tell the right story at the right time to have the most effect. And the Spirit had led Philip to the right person at the right time, and the eunuch understood the assignment. He immediately understood that Jesus was the lamb who was led to slaughter by the Jewish religious leaders. He understood that Jesus did not deserve to die, that Jesus was innocent, but willingly, not kicking or yelling or fighting back, which I want you to know sheep are perfectly capable of, but trusting his Father, he chose to allow himself to be killed so that God could show that not even death could keep us from the love of God. God raised Jesus back to life, and through Jesus, we all have access to eternal life and to join God in the final resurrection. Well, the eunuch got it, and he wanted to be a follower of Jesus too. So he asks Philip, what would keep me from joining the community of Jesus' followers? Is there any reason why I shouldn't be baptized? Now, remember, under Jewish law, a eunuch would not be allowed to fully enter into worship. First of all, he was a Gentile and he was castrated, so he would not have been allowed into the court of men. He would have had to stay outside where the women and Gentiles and children were. But this interaction between Philip and the eunuch was the fulfillment of the scripture in Isaiah 53. Excuse me. Fulfillment of scripture. This eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, but interestingly, a couple of chapters later in Isaiah 56, we come across another prophecy which appears to have been fulfilled in this exchange. Isaiah 56, verse 3 to 8, prophesies that the Lord God is not only the God of the Jews, but of all who come and worship the one true God. So starting in chapter 56, verse 3, do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name that is better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. I can imagine the eunuch rejoicing at his interaction with Philip and the Holy Spirit. And then as he continues on his journey, reading this next section in Isaiah, how much more would he have found joy seeing that he was part of God's plan? But not only was this meeting an Old Testament prophecy come to fruition, it is also putting Jesus' words in Acts 1, verse 8, fully into motion. But you will receive my power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This eunuch was from the ends of the earth. He lived beyond Samaria. Jesus broke down the judgmental rules of Jewish law and opened a relationship with the Creator God to all peoples of the world. And so they found whatever water they could in the desert, and Philip baptized the eunuch. This brought the eunuch into the family of God. Once they came up out of the water, we are told that the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. I think this is a really interesting way to end the story. I wonder if I was the one being baptized and the person who baptized me just disappeared, if I'd be more focused on them disappearing than on what just happened. But the eunuch was not that kind of person. He went away rejoicing. He seemed unconcerned by Philip vanishing. The Lord sent Philip. Philip obeyed the Spirit. The eunuch learned what he needed to become a follower of Jesus. And then he did what was good and right for us to do in every circumstance. He rejoiced. He praised God for what God had done and would continue to do. I wonder who first came to the eunuch's mind to tell his good news to. Who was the Spirit preparing in that moment to hear the eunuch's story when he got home? Now, at the beginning of this sermon, I talked about Fanny Crosby and how the Lord led her to pray and then led someone else to give. And I asked a question about whether you had ever been led to pray for something specific or do something seemingly random but specific. Well, this summer, there was a woman visiting our church for the first time, and I talked to her briefly before the service began. And then I needed to go do some things, so I went to prepare for the service, and I, after the service was done, got busy talking to people, and I distinctly heard the Spirit say, "Go talk to that woman." And so I went outside, and she was already heading down the street, like about to cross the street, and the Spirit I heard say, "Run after her." So I ran and grabbed her, and we had this wonderful conversation where she told me about how she'd gotten to Regina and all of the things God had been doing in her life, and I was really touched by her story. And I didn't know if that was just a chance meeting or if that was something that would lead to more. I'm happy to say that she has continued to come, and I've, you know, enjoyed her friendship and learning from her as well. But even now, sometimes we'll joke about the Spirit sending me literally running after her down the street. So we, like Philip, are prompted by the Spirit to do things to share the good news of Christ. The Spirit may use our diverse interests, our jobs, where we live, or a chance meeting to spread the good news of Jesus and give people the opportunity to also become followers of Christ. Have you ever experienced this? Excuse me. Does your relationship with Jesus give you new insight into the art you are creating or enjoying? The book you are reading? The sports competition that you are participating in? A piece of music that moved you? Or a hike that you're enjoying? Who is the Spirit prompting you to share that insight with? We don't have to be a great evangelist like Philip or a scholar. We simply need to share the difference that Jesus has made in our lives with those the Spirit places in our path. And I'd like to make a little plug for our Learning for Life class. This is kind of what we're doing in our class, Faith or Fiction. We have a wonderful class happening with Galatians, but the other one we're talking about books or movies or shows that mean something to us. Maisie shared with us about a cartoon, Bluey, this morning, and I was really touched by all we could learn from this cartoon. And it can then bring in an opportunity to also share about how Christ is working in our lives. Now, if you're here and thinking that you didn't realize that Jesus could make a difference to your life, I encourage you to pay attention to the Spirit's nudge. Ask someone you know who follows Jesus what effect that he has had on their life. Or pick up that book you've been drawn to, or take that walk you've been meaning to see the signs of spring. Ask the Spirit to show you how you fit into the family of God. God's plan is for all of us to be one community of love under Jesus. So please come and be part of that everlasting family that will never be cut off. The song we're going to sing in a minute is Pass It On. And I sang this as a child at camp all the time. But I thought it was a good reminder for us of it just takes something small and we can pass on the story of Jesus and the difference he's made in our life.